Ready to put a little spin on your day? Then check out Chumba Casino's new online social casino game, Ryan Seacrest 10K Ways. It's free and packed with 10,000 ways to play, only at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hey, everybody. It's Tim Miller from The Bulwark. Welcome back, Senior Distinguished Fellow at the Center for American Progress. He was the ambassador to South Africa during the Obama administration. He's had a bunch of other prominent roles in the Democratic Party. It's Patrick Gaspard. How you doing, man?
Hey, man. Good to be on, Tim.
We're going to keep this tight because I'm pulling you away from that Knicks playoffs game.
Exactly.
All right, man.
Only for you and Bulwark, Tim.
Thank you, man. Well, I really appreciate it. And the folks will appreciate it because if our listeners and viewers are anything like me, they're watching the scene in the Oval Office and you're like, I know this is bullshit. I know that there's some iota of truth here, right? That there's like some, you know, that obviously there's racial conflict in South Africa. It's obviously gotten a million times better since the bad old days. But like, but we know this, the president's lying. We know he's bullying this guy. But like, what, help us like separate the kind of BS from the reality of what we saw today.
So thank you for like unpacking it that way. Not only do we know that these are like, these allegations are not factually true, all of us know that Donald Trump knows that these allegations aren't factually true, right? That's just the way this guy rolls. This is performing a trifecta for him, Tim. One, he gets to kind of like speak to his domestic political audience in the U.S. that loves this kind of racial polarization stuff and this Donald Trump is saving the white race politics that he loves to play. Two, you and I right now are not having a conversation about prices going up at Walmart. We're not talking about the Republican budget that's going to slash all these people off of Medicaid. Three, he's also doing a little bit of a grift game here, right? Because Elon Musk, his BFF, was in the Oval Office today, and Musk is trying to get a deal in South Africa to get Starlink in. So all three of these things are at play. Now, separating fact from fiction, South Africa has challenges with race, as does most of the planet. There's been a pretty fraught history there. But the reality is that black and white South Africans are working closely with one another towards a new future in that country. And tragically, now that we're several decades removed from apartheid, there's still this extraordinary economic discrepancy there in the country and disparities between blacks and whites. Whites that represent about 7% of the population in South Africa now still control and own almost 70% of the private land in South Africa. Those Africana farmers that Trump is going on and on about, they have amassed farmland that represents about half the geography of the actual country right now, still to this day. White South Africans, who, again, are about 7% of the population, represent only 2% of all the homicides in all of South Africa, despite the propaganda video and all the stuff that Trump was throwing out there today. Last thing I'll say, Tim, is there are extraordinary leaders in the Afrikaner community who understand the historic advantages that they've had in education outcomes, in economic outcomes, in security outcomes. And they're doing all they can to turn around the fraught history of South Africa. And they're doing it, despite a right-wing fringe that's in the country called Afroforum, that are making common cause with, you know, that guy, Tucker Carlson, with Musk and so many other kind of fringe actors here in the U.S. So I today I'm thinking about the dignity of Ramaphosa in that horrible room. And I'm thinking about some of my Afrikaner friends who are trying to do the right thing every single day in South Africa.
Yeah, that's tough. I mean, look, and there's, again, everything's a tragedy. This is not to minimize anything, but just the Washington Post had this. 12 people were killed on farms in 2024 in a period where there were 6,900 murders in South Africa. So, like, look, it's just, it's a country that has got challenges and it's violent and they're trying to get better. But, like, the idea that this is a genocide is crazy. You mentioned your friends are the white Afrikaners that are trying to do good work. On the other side of that, the other video, as we're trying to separate fact from fiction here, the other video that Trump showed, he ambushes them with this stupid, you know, reality TV show today. And he's like, he shows it this video of a guy shouting about killing the South African farmers
kill,
or whatever.
Kill the Boers. Kill the
Boers. Yeah, kill the Boers. And he's like, this is your man. This is your party, you know, to the president. And like, you know, my buddy Peter Hamby, who was on the pod last Friday, who spent some time in South Africa, not, doesn't have your level of expertise, but he's like, man, this is, he's texting me. He's like, look, this is a minor party. This is not even, and it's not even the party in the coalition with the president.
Peter knows his stuff. Not only is it a minor party, but the figure who was on that video, Julius Malema, is somebody who was kicked out of the ANC by Cyril Ramaphosa. They defeated him in election. They kicked him out when he used to be a youth leader in the ANC. And they kicked him out specifically because he was corrupt and he was spreading these like racially violent rhetoric in the country. Not, so he's the fringe of the fringe. He actually would get along really well with Donald Trump and somebody's folks. So inconsequential figure who is dangerous because of his rhetoric, but has been contained by the ANC and their partners in government.
One more thing on the South African side of this, and then we can we can rant about Trump a little more. It's like, what was the rationale? Like, why did he come? Like, what, you know, is it just relying on U.S. with trade? And you had to deal, you were in a lot of these rooms dealing with South Africa. Like, what are we, what is the relationship bringing them that he felt like he had to do this?
So when I was ambassador in South Africa, we negotiated a trade deal called the African Growth and Opportunity Act that usually gets renewed for like 5-year periods for it impacts 51 nations in sub-Saharan Africa. But President Obama renewed it for a decade, and then it was re-upped again and extended under Biden. It is coming to its conclusion now under Trump at the end of this year. South Africa needs to renegotiate that agreement. There are billions of dollars at stake. Some estimates are about $14 billion in trade. There's a vibrant automobile manufacturing industry in South Africa. And they sent, like last year alone, about 65,000 vehicles that were built in South Africa. GM has a plant there. Chrysler used to have a plant there. Mercedes has a plant. Volkswagen has a plant. They build these. They send them to the U.S. And down the supply chain, there are American manufacturers that benefit from this as well. It's a huge deal. There are also hundreds of millions of dollars of healthcare support at stake. Tragically, 1 out of 5 South African adults have HIV positive status. Republican and Democratic administrations together have worked to stand up a program called PEPFAR that's led to really building up some foundation for the South African healthcare system. Usually consequential. Trump has pulled back all of those resources and that partnership on healthcare that helped to contain things like Ebola, et cetera, in the past. And they're hoping to be able to revive that partnership again. So huge deal for South Africa and all the American companies that are in South Africa.
Yeah. And I mean, we've seen huge cuts to PEPFAR with, you know,
it's, Musk it's cruel. People who are on treatment now who can't get their medication, young people who are, you know, imperiled if they don't get access to care. It's pretty dangerous and awful and cruel stuff.
Fucking pissed me off so bad. Makes me sick. Well, just back to the Trump rationale and all this. So sure, you know, as you laid out kind of the three reasons at the top, there's a distraction element there, you know, there are the other strategic elements. I do want to focus though on the racial side of this because, you know, I was posting about this on social media earlier, and that's kind of what started our conversation offline. And it was like to me, it is so preposterous that last week Trump goes to Saudi Arabia and he gives this speech. And all of the Republicans, everybody, all the MAGA types, everybody is gassing up this speech. Is like, this is a huge sea change in how America does foreign policy. We're not going to do what those old, naive Republicans and Democrats, the Bushes and the Obamas, we're not going to do this stuff where we pretend we care about human rights and values. All we're going to do is we're going to get ours. It's going to be transactional. We're moving away from that old way. So I don't care if the Saudi Arabian or Qatari government, you know, enslaves people or imprisons people wrongly.
I don't care if MBS takes a chainsaw to a reporter.
Right. We're not going to care about any of that. We're going to go forward. And then 5 days later, we're in the White House and he's lecturing the president of South Africa about the plight of these white farmers. It's like the whole world, all of this horrible stuff happening all over the world, in Afghanistan, across to black folks across Africa, in the Middle East, in Venezuela, we're kicking out the Venezuelans. It's like the only group we care about is the white South Africans. Like, give me a fucking break. Like, give me a break. Like, that is, it's so obvious what they're doing here.
It's grotesque. You can't even call it hypocrisy. That's not what it is. It is just nothing short of being a racial arsonist. That's what Donald Trump is, and that's the politics that they're playing here on this issue. You're right. He had this whole performance in Saudi Arabia last week, and you know, let's not forget that this is the same president who's standing next to Benjamin Netanyahu said that the U.S. was prepared to take over Gaza, move all the Palestinians out of it, and turn it into beachfront property, right? And, you know, I think that's called ethnic cleansing. But yeah, here he is, like, promoting this ridiculous lie about genocide in South Africa to white people as if he has, like, some passion about it. He is playing a game to a base, a fringe base in the United States that gets all frothy whenever he stands himself up as the last best protector of white people on the planet, right? They really do like buy into this replacement theory thing, this white Holocaust thing, and he loves the grievance politics of it. He stokes it on social media, as does Elon Musk, and he uses it for his broad politics. So it's grotesque. It's grotesque. Yeah. You know, if I can, I know that you got to cut this,
and no, I got to play it off. Roll, baby, roll. You're cooking.
Look, when I was a young activist, when I was 19 years old and protesting against apartheid in this country, I was so inspired when I saw young Republican Congress members like Mitch McConnell. Yes, he was young once. Mitch McConnell, who stood up and overturned the veto pen of Ronald Reagan on sanctions against South Africa. Mitch McConnell said, "My president, who I love, is on the wrong side of history. We're going to do the right thing at this moment." It's astonishing to see that Republican Party, relatively short period of time later, getting on bended knee for somebody who is a racial arsonist in the White House and is using foreign policy, our soft power, our relationships, in ways that personally benefits him and stokes the worst kind of hatred and polarization and enmity across the planet. It's an astounding thing to see their complicity and their silence in the face of all of this. It's dangerous.
Yeah, that's dangerous. It is maddening. We'll leave it there. We'll let you get back to the game. You said your piece. We let you cook. And everybody, all folks know this, but I appreciate you on this, man. It's important that everybody get educated, because there's just a lot of smoke and mirrors today. Yeah. There's a lot of smoke and mirrors. And even for educated people that are trying to follow this stuff, it's like, you know, tough to wade through. So I appreciate you coming on, and we'll be staying in touch, man. We'll see you soon.
Thank you for using your voice on this the way you did today. Appreciate it.
All right. I appreciate it, brother. Everybody subscribe to the feed. We'll see you soon.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.